Aren't we all looking forward to that moment when we hear those words, "Well done." Church, I am not Jesus by any stretch of the imagination, so I can't tell you that in eternity, but I can tell you today, well done. You have done a great job of being here for Bible class, participating in our worship, and being great, great brothers and sisters in Christ. I sure am thankful to be a part of this forever family. What a great day it is. And I appreciate the words of Justin earlier. If you had a bad week last week, and you had a just awful, people were awful to you and everything else, today is a day of being restored. And I'm so thankful. It's a new hope. It's a new breath. And so this morning, we're going to study together, I think, a powerful, powerful lesson that is written for us really in the Old Testament. And that being from, we're going to be in Jeremiah later on. We'll be in several places. But as you heard this morning, and Joseph leading us in some of our singing and in our scripture readings today, and I appreciate all those who participated in that, we're talking about being molded by God. That is what we are here to do, right? We are to be molded by Him. Last week, I spent time talking about being involved and not just being on the sidelines of getting in the game and being a part. But today, you may be asking yourself, what do they want with me? You know, I just don't quite fit. Maybe I don't feel good enough or I don't feel special enough. Maybe you've looked at your life, and listen, folks, we all have skeletons in the closet. But maybe you've experienced some of those, and the devil has tempted you with thinking on those negatives and those things. Maybe it's your struggles. Maybe it's the story that your life has told that you are not proud of so far in life. But maybe you've done all that, and you've wondered on this involvement and stuff, why did God make me this way? Am I a mistake? Today, we're going to silence that lie. Today, we're not only going to silence that lie, but we're going to silence that is used as oftentimes as an excuse. Everyone here is not an accident. Our God is not a God of mistakes. Our God is not a God of accidents. He is a purposeful creator. He is a divine potter who molds each of us uniquely, and He does it on purpose. And He does it for a purpose. Our text today will be from Isaiah 64:8, which you'll see on the slide in just a moment. There it is. And then Jeremiah 18:1 through 6. These scriptures paint a vivid picture of God, and it paints Him as the potter and we as the clay. In fact, in Isaiah 64:8, Isaiah pens the words, "But now, O Lord, You are our Father. We are the clay. And You are our potter. We are all the work of Your hand." Do not miss that last phrase there. As Isaiah is writing, he's praying to God. He's crying out to God. He's praising God and praying for himself in so many ways. You are our Father. Isn't that great today? We've been adopted by Him. We've been grafted into the true vine of Jesus Christ through God the Father. He is our Father if we've submitted our lives to Him through Christ Jesus. And here's the beautiful part of it. Once we do that, we're not molding ourselves. We're saying, "Father, here we are. We are the clay. You are the potter. Take Your hands and mold our lives. Make me what You want me to be. We are all the work of Your hand." That means there are no mistakes in here. You know, sometimes a child will be born that wasn't planned. And sometimes you'll hear people say, oh, this was our uh-oh, or this was our mistake. I don't really like that terminology because God doesn't make uh-ohs. God doesn't make mistakes. Now, we can get in there and we can say, God, you're not the potter. I'm going to mold my own life. I don't need you. And that, my friends, would be a mistake. But it's not because God did it. It's because we let go and we tried to do it on our own. In Jeremiah 18, I really like this story. God sends Jeremiah to a potter's house. And in that potter's house, he's going to learn a life-changing lesson. A life-changing lesson that I believe is not only great for Jeremiah, but it's going to be great for you and it's going to be great for me. And so what Jeremiah is going to see, and we're going to read it in just a moment, is a potter shaping clay. And of course, the message is there how God shapes us, and He does it with intention. But what Jeremiah is going to see are some things that didn't go perfectly. And then he's going to see how the potter responds. But today's message, the underlying theme of this is, you are not a mistake. You are molded by the Master, and everyone here is needed. Let's get into it. Number one, as you can already see there on the board, the potter's hands are purposeful. Turn with me to Jeremiah 18, please, and let's read together verses 1 through 4. Jeremiah 18, 1 through 4, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, that's the potter, working at his will. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand. And he reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to do. Again, God tells Jeremiah here, you go to this potter's house, and there I'm going to give you my message. In other words, I'm going to let you hear my words. So what does Jeremiah do? He goes and he observes and he walks in and he sees this potter and the potter's doing. If you've seen people work clay, whether it's on TV or YouTube or in person, you know that they've taken a big chunk of clay and they've put it on this wheel and it's spinning and they're molding it and they're making it. But here's what sometimes when we watch it on YouTube, we might just see the finished product, right? We don't see if it goes bad. Well, Jeremiah saw it. He's witnessing this, and he witnesses this clay in this potter's hand. The ESV said spoiled. It means it became imperfect or flawed. In other words, it messed up. As he was making it, the clay didn't do what it was supposed to do. But here's what most people would do. Well, let me start over. Let me get some more clay. That's not what the potter did. In fact, it's so beautiful. Look at verse 4. He reworked it into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to do. Maybe you walked in here today and you are trying, you've been trying to let God mold you and make you, but along the way, you've put things in your life that has spoiled that clay. Here's the beautiful scene about it. God doesn't take that clay and throw it away. He takes it and He molds it into another vessel. And that's the beautiful thing about this story that Jeremiah is seeing. And remember, Jeremiah saw a lot of bad. In fact, in Jeremiah, and he wrote Lamentations, and they're both very sad. Very sad books that he is the author of. And in fact, that's why he's called the Weeping Prophet, because there's a lot of lamentations. There's a lot of tears over watching the spoiled clay of Israel, even though God was trying to mold them. You see, God, our God, the one we serve, our Father, He reshapes us with purpose. He doesn't create throwaways. He doesn't create someone and then throw it away. God would never throw you away. Now, we've thrown Him away. Jesus was thrown away for 30 pieces of silver. We've done it for a lot less than that. We've thrown God away for some juicy gossip. We've thrown God away for some things I shouldn't be looking at. We've thrown God away for some things I shouldn't be putting in my body. We've thrown God away for far less than 30 pieces of silver. But God has never thrown you away. God has never thrown me away. If we will allow whatever your life is right now, whatever you have put into the clay of your life and spoiled it, God can still work with that. Isn't that a beautiful scene? Isn't that a beautiful thought? His hands are purposeful. Psalm 139, Grady read it to us. I won't read all 14 verses again, but what isn't that such a beautiful psalm? Let's read 1 through 4. O Lord, You have examined my heart. You see, right now, God knows us. He knows the number of hairs on our head. He knows His creation. So, if you think because you've come in here and maybe you've put on your church clothes and all, and you're not willing to allow God to work you, maybe you're here just to check it off, let me say, God knows all that. God knows why you're here. He also knows what you've done. He knows what I've done. He knows why I'm here. He knows my heart. And He's still willing to work with us no matter what we've done to spoil it. O Lord, You have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know where I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I am going to say even before I say it, Lord. Now go to 13 and 14. For You formed my inward parts. He molded it. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. That's why I say there are no mistakes. God formed you. God knitted you. He knitted me together in our mother's womb. And what a beautiful scene that is. Look at the beautiful babies that are here today. And look at those. We've got expectant mom here today and all this beautiful scene that God is working and He's creating and He is doing these things. There is not a mistake. There might be sins that were the mistake that led to a baby being born, but the baby is not a mistake because God formed them. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise You, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are Your works. My soul knows it very well. But what happens is we grow up and we quit allowing the potter to mold our lives. He's still sitting at the wheel. But we jump off into sin, or we jump off into a life where we think we can do it on our own. And we jump off and we get ourselves spoiled. We get ourselves in trouble. And our life looks like a mistake. There are people that get so down and depressed on their lives that they say, nobody loves me, I'm not worthy, I don't need to be here. And they will rid the earth of themselves. And it's very, very sad. It's very sad. I don't want anyone here to think that you're a mistake. That you're not who God originally made because you are. And no matter what we've done in our lives to spoil that, the potter's still sitting at the wheel. And He can take your life and mold it into a beautiful vessel if we'll allow Him to. A potter doesn't just slap clay on a wheel and hope for the best. You see, it's an art. They don't just take a bunch of clay and put it on the wheel and say, oh, good luck, I hope it turns out to be a beautiful pot. Every spin, every press, every cut is intentional. And God is like that with us. Maybe you're shy and you've wished you could be bolder. Maybe you face hardships, loss, illness, failures. And maybe you've even wondered, why, God, did you allow all this? But see, the potter sees what we cannot. He sees things that are beyond our vision and beyond our sight. And He's shaping us into a vessel for His glory. That's why Romans 8:28 is so beautiful. And we know that all things work together to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. All things work together for good. All things work together and they will be good if we will allow the potter to mold us. Your life is not a mistake. In fact, all of our lives are masterpieces in progress. Secondly, this morning, we learned that the potter's process can be painful. This is one we may not want to talk about, but it's something that's very important. You see, we can talk all day long about, hey, I made a mistake of my life because I walked away from God, and He can take that life and He can make it, and that is true and it's beautiful. But along the way, there has to be some pain at times. Being shaped by the potter isn't always going to be comfortable. Jeremiah 18:6 says, like clay in the hand of the potter, so you are in my hand. So we've got to relate to that, right? This is the story that He wanted Jeremiah to see. Just like clay in the hand of the potter, you are clay in my hand, God says. The potter's process, the way it works, and you'll see that scene, that picture there that I chose. He's cutting away and His hands have got mud and clay all over them, and it looks like a very nasty, messy process. And the reason I put that picture there is because sometimes that's how it is in our life. God's shaping process can feel that too. It can feel like the potter putting pressure, spinning, and sometimes having to cut things away. Isaiah 64:8 again calls God our Father and potter, but sometimes His shaping feels more like discipline than a gentle caress. The clay on the wheel is spun, it's pressed, and it's stretched. What if that clay could talk? If that clay, as that potter is pressing it, and he's stretching it, and he's cutting it, and he's getting the excess away, do you think that clay would ever say, that really hurts? You're hurting me. I wish you wouldn't do that. But see, the potter knows what he's doing. He knows what he needs to shape and mold and cut away. And sometimes we might too say, that really hurts. There's some pain involved. Hebrews 12:11, the Hebrew writer says, for the moment all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. No one in here loved to be disciplined. My children do not love to be disciplined. I didn't love to be disciplined. In fact, I tried to do as many good things in front of my parents and by my parents as I could, because I didn't want to face that discipline. It wasn't fun. It wasn't good. But in the end, it was going to yield righteousness. It was going to yield doing what's right. That's what discipline is, right? Where there is spiritual discipline sometimes. There's spiritual pain. God's shaping. That may be trials. It may be correction. It may be waiting seasons. We're waiting on Him for this and for that. It's not punishment. Those things are not punishment. You might feel like you're walking through a season of punishment from God, but it's really preparation. It's preparing you. It's preparing me. Maybe you're in a season of spinning. Maybe it's a job loss. Maybe there's a health struggle. Maybe it's a strained relationship. Right now, your life may feel chaotic. It may feel out of the ordinary. But the potter, if we allow him to, is constantly at work. What he's doing is he's taking you, you're a little bit off center, and he's aligning you with purpose. I've never had braces, but I just walked through my daughter having them. And there were times when they would go and the orthodontist would adjust her braces and it would hurt because he was aligning and he was tightening and he was shaping her mouth. And that's how it works, right? And that hurts and it creates pain. When our lives need aligning, sometimes it's painful. Sometimes we have to be stretched. Sometimes we have to be pressed. Sometimes we have to be cut away, but God is trying to center you. He's trying to center me, and He's trying to do it with His purpose. Maybe He's having to cut away pride. You know, if we're going to allow God, again, our life's not a mistake. He did not create us to be a mistake. He created us beautiful and perfect. He knitted us together, and everything is just great. Now, when we take our eyes off Him, we create mistakes on our own. And we spoil the clay. And so maybe now He's got to cut some things away. Maybe that's pride. Maybe it's some habits that you need to get rid of. Maybe it's priorities that have been all twisted up. Does it hurt? Temporarily. Maybe it causes some discomfort. But here is what God's doing. He's making you into a vessel fit for His use. In 2 Timothy 2:21, Paul writes to Timothy, "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work." If you will allow God today to take the dishonorable and cut it away and form you and mold you and make you in alignment, He is making you a vessel that's not for dishonorable work, it's for honorable work. It's a vessel that will be set apart, it will be holy. And it'll be useful for Him. The pain is part of the process, but it's never without purpose. Finally this morning, number 3, the potter's purpose is personal. It's personal. In Isaiah 64:8, the people cry out, "We are all the work of Your hand." Every vessel in here is unique. Every piece of clay that's being molded by the Father in here is unique. God doesn't mass produce Christians on an assembly line. He crafts each one of us with a specific purpose. You know, if something is mass produced, there are a lot of flaws sometimes. In the collector's world, if you're going to collect some type of action figure or Barbie or whatever, these things are mass produced by Mattel or whoever. Sometimes it'll be messed up. You'll see a paint application that's not right because somewhere in the mass production of it, it got messed up and it just slipped a little bit. But see, here's what God does. He doesn't mass produce. He takes each one. And He crafts it to His likeness. So there will be no mistakes. There will be no mess-ups. Because He is the master potter. And every vessel in here is exactly what He's talking about in Ephesians 2:10 when He says, "For we are God's handiwork. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We can look around in this room, right? We can look at each other. We can look next to us. We can look across from us, behind us, several sections over from us, up in the balcony. We can look at all of us, and you know what we are, what we'll observe? Oh, we'll observe, hey, we're the congregation of saints that meet at the Azalea City Church of Christ at 3550 Schillinger Road North at this building. But we're not just a congregation. We're a collection of unique vessels, each shaped for a purpose. Some are going to house plants. Some are going to house meals. Some are going to house whatever. But God is forming you for a purpose. There are individuals that make up this congregation that God is shaping for His purpose. Some in here are called to teach. Some are serving. Some are praying. Some are leading. Some are singing. Some are fill in the blank, right? Some are vessels of compassion. You pour out your love to others. You take a meal to others who are hurting, or just because you think they may need one. That's the service. That's the love. That's the vessel God's molding you into. Other vessels are going to be those who speak with the truth. They're going to boldly proclaim the Word of God. No two of us are alike. And that's by design. You know, listen, we've got a great bunch of speakers at this place. In fact, it makes it easier for me to be out of town because we've got Justin who can preach. We've got Taylor who could preach. We've got George. We've got Cody. We've got so many others here who could get up here if I'm not here and they can preach. But we all have a unique style, right? We have so many class teachers here that they can get up and they can teach. And we have those in the elementary all the way up to the adults. And it's a beautiful thing. But no two teachers are usually alike. We might share some of the same ideas and same thoughts. But it goes that way in Bible class, in preaching, in song leading, and in everyday work of the Lord. And that's the beautiful thing about it. It goes back to the scene in 1 Corinthians 12 when not all of us are eyeballs, right? We all have our own unique part. The potter didn't make a mistake when he made us. God doesn't make mistakes. But here's the challenge to all this today. You must surrender to the potter's hands. He's not going to take your life. If you think that it's just a spoiled bunch of clay, He's not going to go get your clay and put it on His will. He's going to need you to do that. That means we have to let go. Jeremiah 18:6 says that God can reshape His people as He sees fit. But we must surrender. We must let go. And we must trust Him to do that. Maybe we've been resisting the potter. Maybe we've been clinging to our own control. You know what that creates? A doubt of self-worth. Once we try to do it on our own and we fail, now we feel like we're not good enough, we're not worthy enough, and I can't go into that place because if they know the things that I've done, listen, this place is full of things that we've done. Those kinds of moments. This place is full of sinners. But most of us are trying to be, no matter what our life was, allowing God on His will to mold us and make us. So what God is inviting us all to do today is give way. You know what yield means? It means slow down and give right away, right? Slow down and give the right away. We've got to slow life down, even if we have to stop and give right away to God. That means surrender. We've got to trust that He's going to shape us for a purpose. There are potters who make sets of dishes. And each piece of that, of those dishes, serve a purpose. One may be for serving. One may be for holding bread. One may be a small saucer where you drink a cup off of it. Whatever they are, these dishes, this set of dishes, they're all different, but they're made for a purpose. They each have a role, but together they make a beautiful table. That's who we are. Each one in here is a unique piece, a unique vessel that God has made or He's molding for His kingdom. But together, we display His glory. So in closing, I just want to ask, do you think you're a mistake? Remember I said from the outset, I want this sermon to get rid of that lie. That's a lie from Satan. We got to call it what it is. When Satan makes you doubt yourself, and when Satan, he doesn't make you, but when he tempts you to doubt yourself, or when he tempts you to feel like you are worthless, I want you to see what Jeremiah saw. He saw a potter that had spoiled clay, but he's still molded into a great vessel. The potter's hands, God's hands, they're purposeful. His process is refining. And His purpose is personal. It's for you. It's for me. Maybe you are feeling unworthy. Maybe you've been broken down by the world and by sin. Maybe there's a lot of doubt in your life. Maybe there's a lot of pain. The good news is that the potter never throws the clay away. In fact, in Romans 5:8, we're reminded that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When we were still spoiled pieces of clay, Christ still died for us. Through Jesus, God reshapes us. He forgives us. And He makes us new. Let me close with just a few things here. Because what are the steps, right? The first thing we must do today is trust the potter. Trust God. That means surrender our lives, surrender our flaws, surrender dreams that we've made on our own. Put it all in His hands. It means if you've never obeyed the gospel, today is the day to be baptized into Christ, to be reshaped by His hands. So first, trust the potter. Two, embrace your purpose. We all have a purpose. Maybe you ask God, how can I serve You with the way You've shaped me? Third, then we encourage one another. You know what I've never seen? And I've been associated with this church my whole life. I've been ministering here since I got out of college, and that's been 26 years. I've seen a lot of people come forward. I've seen a lot of people get baptized. I've never seen anyone come forward and people criticize them. They usually surround them. Last Sunday, Scott Giroux walked the aisle and he confessed that Jesus was the Son of God before all of us and before the Father. And then He was immersed in water for the forgiveness of His sins. When He come up out of that water, surrounded by Him upstairs were a bunch of teenagers. And His family made His way up. I said, Scott, we got to go ahead and have prayer because it's our tradition. We have a when somebody comes up, those who are up there, we hold hands and we have prayer for that new brother, that new sister. And I said, but there are a lot of people, and I said this to him, that want to hug your neck. When he came down from the stairs, they were waiting on him. They were waiting on him. They didn't leave. They wanted to hug Him and say, I love you and I'm proud of you. I've never seen somebody confess Jesus and be baptized or walk this aisle and get shunned. You can come forward and know that we're here to encourage you and love you. So there's only one thing left. Joseph's going to come and lead us in an invitation song. You need to surrender to the potter through baptism, through prayer, through a renewed commitment to Him. Let's be that church of clay. Let's be molded for the Master. Let's do it for His purpose. And let's do it right now together. We stand and sing.